From Chicago, it's the Old St. Pat's Podcast Sunday Series, a show that highlights weekly reflections from Old St. Patrick's Church.
Ryan, do me a favor. Could you kind of sit still a little bit during Mass? I've been watching you, and you're kind of all over the place. And if you could stay off your cell phone, too. I know it's been a while since you've been here, but no, this isn't funny. I mean, really, stay off the cell phone, all right? And just sit still. I got my donors here, too, for Christ's sake. But anyhow, I'm just kidding. Everybody, don't be writing me nasty letters. But I remember when I was in the seminary, and a guy who was the rector at the time, he was also a clinical psychologist, Jerry Kakanis, taught a course on pastoral counseling. And that was the way he started the very first class. He had it all planned out. He was a fine teacher, a great preacher, and he came up and just picked on somebody right away. And everybody in the class was shocked. And everybody's collective thought was, Jerry, you're such a jerk. Which I'm sure yours was for me. Tom, what a jerk. Why are you picking on Ryan? The poor guy's just playing the drums over here, the percussions. He hasn't done anything wrong. What a jerk. But I think in many ways that was the shock. And so what Jerry then got us thinking about was, how did you feel? How did you feel when someone unfairly and unexpectedly just kind of attacked? And then we started talking about that, and then the class went on. But in many ways, this is a shock. Hurley, what a jerk. I mean, you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of people watching, and you're being an idiot. I was just doing it for the shock value. And when you think about it, this text from Matthew's gospel, I think has shock value to it. I'm going to take it down a road where I think maybe some scripture scholars might argue with me and might say, no, that's really not the way it is, but they're not here, at least I don't think they are, so let's just go with it, all right? The reason I say that is that if you look at this experience, this looks very shocking. Jesus basically is saying to this woman who's a Canaanite woman, and she's from a Gentile area, basically saying, listen, you're not even worthy of the food that comes from the tables. You're not even worth the scraps. You're like a dog. And actually, John Senior, who is a scripture scholar, says that the translation is not really dog, but the Greek translation is really puppy. You're not even worth, you're like a puppy. You're not even worth the scraps. You're like a COVID puppy, right? Everybody got puppies during this whole thing, right? You're not even worth the scraps. And so I think I'm guessing, and the way I'm taking this is that I think Jesus was doing this for the shock value. I think he wanted to teach his friends, this ain't the way it goes. Yes, Matthew's gospel, again, just indulge me for a moment. Matthew is writing primarily to a Jewish Christian community. What that means is that these are Jews that are deeply, deeply embedded in Judaism, and they are converting to Christianity, to Jesus' way, if you will. And so everything in Matthew's gospel is going to be very Jewish, if you will. And likewise, too, he's going to say my mission was to only the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not for the Canaanite woman and not for anybody outside of our little clique. And then what happens? A Canaanite woman comes. She's not in the clique. She's not in the house. And so Jesus is going to kind of, through Matthew, going to shock everybody, shock the disciples. And he's going to shock them in such a way as to kind of dismiss them. And you're not even worthy of the scraps, you little puppy dog. Crazy, crazy. And what will she do? But she's going to be persistent. And she's going to shock them. And the shock value is that it's going to be about mercy. The shock value that Jesus and the woman, I think, are going to teach the disciples and everybody else is that this isn't about boundaries. This isn't about race. This isn't about who's special or who has the right credentials or who gives the most or who's the smartest or who has the fanciest title. This isn't just about us who are Catholics. But God's mercy and God's love goes to everybody. That might shock some people, but it shouldn't shock us. Because this is what God desires. This is what God loves. And we might think sometimes, well, it's only for the prim and the proper, and it's only for those who have the right answers. And this text is going to say, no, it's not that. God's love and God's mercy is that goes beyond all the distinctions and all the walls and all the things that we build up. We need to shock one another. We need to shock the world. It's so shocking, and it's almost ridiculous. Jesus and this scene is ridiculous. And that's what Matthew wants to show, that these distinctions are ridiculous. Discrimination and prejudice is ridiculous. It's as silly as all the ways that we express this splintered humanity. It's ridiculous. It should shock us. It should baffle us. And so what does she do? But she shocks everybody, and he's going to go along with it. And what exactly is she going to show? She's going to show her cards. And what are her cards? It's an authentic love. What is she going to show this Canaanite woman? She's going to show a love that is deeper and richer than all the distinctions that any of us ever could make. She will show that she believes in a God of deep mercy and deep healing and a love that's not just meant for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but for everybody, for everybody. This pandemic time is shocking us. It's shocking our system. It has shocked us into disappointment. It has shocked us into discouragement, uncertainty. It has shocked many of us into a depression, anxiety, so many questions and fears and isolation and being alone. It has shocked us. And yet, when we gather in this place and we gather wherever we are, this story is one that says, yeah, this is shocking to the system. But there is a God whose love, whose healing, whose mercy is going to go beyond a pandemic. It's one that stretches beyond our isolation and our anxiety. It is one that is pervasive, and it's all around us. Or as I said yesterday at one of the weddings, it's a love that endures. It endures everything. It goes beyond everything. And this love goes beyond everything. It goes beyond who's in the house of Israel, who's not. It's for everybody. And so what does this require? It requires us to go deeper. Hold on just a moment. I used this once before, or maybe a couple times before, but like I said a few weeks ago, you know, there's new people on the live stream, so they maybe haven't heard this, so just deal with it, all right? But when I was first ordained, when I was preparing to be ordained, we had to come up with a chalice and a paten, which is the plate. And oftentimes, you know, those things are gifts that often are paid for by family. And so my mom and dad got this for me, but I actually am the one who went to get it because they didn't know what to do. And so there was a silversmith that lived in Lincoln Park. His name was Bill. And there were other guys that had gone to Bill to get chalices and patens made. And so I got his name, his number. I called him up. I said, hey, I'm going to be ordained a priest. I need to get a paten and a chalice. And he said, well, come down to see me. So I did. So I drove down from Mundelein, and I went to his home in Lincoln Park, into his studio, and he sat me down, and he just took out a piece of paper, and he said, okay, he said, what are you looking for? I said, well, I'm looking for a plate and a chalice paten for the for Mass. Okay. He said, well, what do you want it to say? I was like, what do I want it to say? I said, I just need a plate and a cup. You know, I need some tools. You know what I'm saying? I got to say Mass. I need, this is what we use, you know? And he said, no, what do you want it to say? What do you want it to express? I was like, dude, I just need something to pour a little wine in with a little bit of water and I'm all good to go. And he said, no. He said, what? I don't just make them. He said, I help you make it. And I was like, come on, man. And he said, do you have any idea what you want this thing to express or say from yourself? And I was like, dude, there's just a lot of details. I just need a cup and a plate. He said, you can leave now. I was like, what the heck? And so I left. He threw me out. And I went back to Mundelein. I was so ticked off driving back 60 miles back to Mundelein. I thought, dang it, I just need a patent and a cup. I don't want to get one out of a catalog. I want to get one made, you know? Everybody else got one made. And so he said, what I want you to do is go and think about this, and I want you to think about what you want this to express. He said, this is something that has to flow from inside. So I went back, and as frustrated as I was, it took me a couple days for me to get it. And I sat at Mundelein, and I started jotting things down, and maybe about a week later, I finally called him. I said, Bill, I think I'm ready to meet with you again. He said, all right, come on down. So I drove all the way back down to Lincoln Park, and I sat with him, and he said, what do you want it to express? I said, well, this is coming from my mom and dad, and they're very simple people. So I don't want any, like, jewels or rubies or anything like that, like some of those old ones. I said, it needs to be simple. I said, they had a big family, and I really believe they fed a lot, so it needs to be big. So this is a good-sized cup. And I said, the other thing, too, is that they've carried the cross in many ways. They've lost children, two children as adults and a baby. I said, so around the node, which is the middle part, I said, just a simple cross to remind me of the cross that they have carried. And I'll hold that every time I hold it, literally in my hands. But the plate should be big, too, because they fed a lot of us. And I went on and I said a few other things. He said, okay, good, good, good. What he basically was trying to get me to do was to go deeper. It can't just be a stupid cup or a stupid plate. It's got to express something. This can't just be a dumb pandemic that is inconveniencing us, but maybe it's doing something else to us. Maybe it's shocking us and shocking our system, and maybe we're becoming even deeper disciples. Maybe we're becoming closer. Maybe perhaps we're getting in touch with the God of life and the God who extends beyond pandemics and viruses and beyond all the things that separate us and the isms that destroy and splinter the human family. And God is reaching to us and reaching through us. And God is trying to touch our hearts and speak to our hearts. As Isaiah said, it's a house for all people, not just some, everybody. God is accessible to everybody. So may we take this time and use this time and allow the Spirit of God to get into us, go deeper into us, speak to us, challenge us, shake us up a little bit, so that maybe, just maybe, we'll grow even in this holier love, a greater love, with the author of love and the one whose only desire is to love us into life.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For more information about all resources and events at Old St. Pat's, please visit our website at oldstpats.org. To stay up to date with new episodes, please follow us on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Find us on Twitter at Old St. Pat's and on Instagram at Old St. Pat's Chicago. I'm Kate Anderson. You've been listening to the Old St. Pat's Podcast.